Our opening hymn is 451, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Our liturgy tonight is the Order of Vespers on page 229, page 229. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
A reading tonight from the prophet Isaiah. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is Were You There? the first three verses of number 456. 456, Were You There? Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight's message focuses on the seventh and final word of Jesus on the cross, taken from all four Gospels. Again, Jesus called out loud, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Just then, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth was shaken. The rocks were split. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the holy people who had gone to their rest came back to life. They came out of their graves after he had risen, went into the holy city, and showed themselves to many people. Dear friends in Christ, tonight I invite you to come one more time to your Savior's cross and to fix your eyes on Jesus, who was one with us in his life, and now he is one with us in our death. For a time, he was right alongside of us. He was hungry and thirsty along with the rest of us. He was working and he was tired and he was sleeping along with the rest of us. He was laughing and crying and everything in between with the rest of us. And now he commends his soul into the safekeeping of his Father. His head drops down, just like ours will someday. His cheeks and his lips turn pale. His eyes lose their luster. His hands and feet turn cold. And he gives up his spirit. When he is taken down from the cross, he drops into the arms of those who carry him away, the Son of God. The very author of all things living is dead. Come one more time to this cross, now empty. Come with the death of your loved ones in mind. Come with the memories of all the deathbeds at which you have been present. Come with the memories of all the funerals you have attended. Come with the memories of all the cemeteries at which you have stood. Come with your own inevitable death in mind tonight, and listen to the words you may have heard one or more times at the graveside of a loved one. We now commit the body of our loved one to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. And now I want you to picture yourself at that cemetery. And then the pastor places his hand on the casket, similar to when a pastor places his hand on an infant in the liturgy of baptism and the praying of the Lord's Prayer. And then the pastor says, "May God the Father, who has created this body, may God the Son, who by his blood redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism sanctified this body to be his temple, keep these remains to the day of the resurrection of all flesh." As we hear Jesus commending himself into the hands of his Father, we take note that this was God's plan. You and I are born to live. Jesus was born to die. Again and again, Jesus looked into his disciples' eyes and he told them, "I must suffer at the hands of men and die." Three meditations on the death of Jesus tonight. Meditation number one is that the death of Jesus was the death that he wanted. Number two is that his death was a homecoming. Number three is that the death of Jesus gives us a new way of dying. Meditation number one, the death of Jesus was the death that he wanted. You and I will die because we have to die when our strength is gone and our hearts stop beating. We may want to live longer, but we cannot add a minute to our life. If I've heard it once, I've heard it dozens of times, and I've said it myself when your time is up, it's up. Again and again, we stare death in the face, totally helpless. Outwardly, Jesus seemed as helpless as we will be. He hung there as a victim of his enemies. They mocked and they joked that in spite of his claim of saving others, he couldn't save himself. Jesus, you may remember, had already showed the soldiers that they had no power over him. Already in the garden, when Jesus said, "I am he," they all fell back on the ground. Jesus could have called 70,000 angels, a legion of angels, to help him. The reason Jesus died wasn't because the soldiers had tortured and crucified him. Not really. Jesus died because he loved you. Jesus died because he wanted to take your place under the demands of the law. Jesus died because he wanted for his Father never to be angry again with you and me and with all who are believing and are baptized into the name of the triune God. Jesus died because he wanted our sins to be forgiven and he wanted our mansions in heaven to be on reserve. It was for the joy set before him, the joy of you and me and millions of people from all the nations and from all the generations to be living with him face to face someday in paradise. The kingdom of God is like an elderly woman sitting alone tonight. And in these days, in her worst moments, she wonders if anybody really cares for her. She spends some time tonight at the cross of her Savior, and as she does, her Savior loves her. He holds her close in the preaching of his word. She whispers out loud with St. Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Meditation number two is that the death of Jesus was a homecoming. In our church, St. Paul Lutheran in Waseca, Minnesota, we believe that when a Christian dies, his soul goes into the presence of Christ. Her body goes wherever the family and the funeral director put it. Here, we believe that our souls, our spirits, never die. They are commended into the presence of Christ, and that our bodies will be as if they were sleeping and waiting for the second coming of Christ. On the last day, we believe that our bodies and souls will be reunited and that public judgment will take place. Christ will point to our good works as evidence, as meager as they might be. He will point to our good works as evidence of faith. And then the words we've been waiting for, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." To the thief on the cross, Jesus had promised, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." To those of us who are wondering what paradise will be like, well, we know that it will be like the best of homecomings we've ever experienced here on earth, times 1,000. And then times 10,000. In that place, there will be no more hunger nor thirst, but instead a wedding reception. Can you believe this? It'll be like a wedding reception that never ends. There will be no more scorching heat, nor brutally cold winters, no spring blizzards, nor will there be nightmares in the darkness. Rather, we will be led into green pastures and near the still waters. No more nursing homes, nor hospitals, nor cemeteries. No more talk of protective masks and ventilators. ICU units, only gold streets with a river clear as crystal going on down the middle with lush vegetation in all the seasons. The kingdom of God is like a young family returning home from a long-planned and much-anticipated vacation. Along the way, there were irritating detours. There were bumps and bruises galore on this trip. Reservations were canceled. The kids drove the parents crazy. Tempers were short. The ride home was brutal. Pulling into the driveway, this whole family breathed a sigh of relief. They said a prayer of thanksgiving. They settled into their beds that night, and the final thought they had before drifting off was, "All's well that ends well." Our death will be like a homecoming. Meditation number three is that the death of Jesus gives us a new way of dying. There's death in the air these days. It's on the news. It's on our minds. This weekend may well be the high mark of Americans breathing their last, at least in terms of coronavirus. I was wondering how many people die every year, and so I found out. 57 million people die every year worldwide. That's 156,164 worldwide deaths every day. 2.7 million people die in the United States every year. That's 7,400 die in America every day. 41,900 die in Minnesota every year. That's 115 people overall dying every day. And so then I wondered how many people claim to be Christians these days. According to Pew Research, 31% of this world's 7.3 billion people are Christians. That was a year ago or so. 31% worldwide are Christians. 71% of USA citizens claim Christianity. 74% of Minnesotans claim Christianity. In case you North Dakotans are wondering, 77% up there in the great state. And so there are two ways to die, as we all know. There are those who die apart from Christ and those who die in Christ. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. This evening we keep in our prayers all who are approaching death and all who are dying in these days. We pray tonight that God's Spirit would work through all circumstances of life, including pandemics, to be calling and gathering more and more redeemed sinners into His church. We rejoice tonight that Jesus gives us a new attitude about death. When He cried out with a loud voice for His Father to receive His Spirit, He was unafraid. He was not stepping blindly into a dreadful unknown. He was not jumping off a cliff into the dark abyss below. He was looking death in the eye, and He was not flinching. Every good work ordained for Him to do before the foundation of the world was done. It was finished. Mission accomplished. He could rest in peace, knowing that His good works would follow Him. The kingdom of God is like little groups of Christians gathered around the world these days at the foot of the cross. They know. These people know that when their time comes, the dreadful reality of death will give way to sleep. It will be as if they fall asleep and wake up in their Father's arms. Some of you know what I'm going to talk about now. As a little boy, I knew well what it meant to fall asleep in the car on the way home late at night after visiting relatives. My father would park the car. He would lift up his sleeping son. Sometimes I pretended to be asleep. Raise your hand out there if you've ever done that. And Dad would carry me up into the bedroom of our little farmhouse and lay me down for the night. And more often than not, my mom would be there to pray with a voice as gentle as they come, the Lord's Prayer. And then Luther's evening prayer, which includes the words, "For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." And then, say it with me if you can. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. Guard me through the starry night. Waken me at morning's light." And then she would pray, "And if I die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. This I ask for Jesus' sake. Into your hands, dear Father, we commit our spirits tonight. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. Tonight we're going to sing a hymn, hymn number 447. No, we're not going to sing 21 verses. No, we're not. Number 447. We're going to sing verses 19 through 21. Number 447, the last three verses.
Jesus, all your labor vast, all your woe and conflict past, yielding up your soul at last, hear us, holy Jesus. When the death shades round us, Lord, guard us from the tempter's power. Keep us in that trial hour. Hear us, holy Jesus. May your life and death supply grace to live and grace to die, grace to reach the home on high. Hear us, holy Jesus.
And now we enjoy some special music from a portion of our choir, "When You Pray Beneath the Trees." When You Pray Beneath the Trees, directed by Kelly Lenz, who doesn't like it when I say her name, but I said it anyway.
You faced them not alone. You were silent.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We close with the closing Vespers liturgy, and you'll find that if you're following along on page 233. We begin with the Kyrie. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry to you.
Almighty God, graciously behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to say along with me Martin Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, you guessed it, it's one of my favorites. Number 425, 425, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
From his head, his hands, his
like to remind you that on Sunday morning we will be live streaming Facebook 6:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. services, and that our 9 o'clock service will be on the radio as well. The train, as they say here in Waseca, 1170 a.m. and 106.3 FM. I believe we leave you with some special music tonight. God bless you.